And so, only because the functioning of all the data for being logical reflection crystallized in the presence of your favorites in recent centuries was turned almost topsy-turvy in them, as he said, and because this information that reached them from two entirely different sources appeared to their bobtailed logical mentation equally plausible, those beings of contemporary civilization who had begun to toss off all kinds of scientific specialties like hotcakes fell into a state of great perplexity, and for some years could not make up their minds which of these two contradictory theories to adopt and include among the branches of their official science. Finally, after expending a great deal of saliva, as they say, in order that no one should take offense, and at the same time so that this branch of their science should include both of these theories from ancient times, which had nothing in common with each other, they decided to combine them into one. And a little later, one of them, named Hyderopoulo, thought out a very long mathematical explanation of this misunderstanding, stating why one theory speaks of the division of the octave into seven whole tones and the other into only five whole tones, and why and how such an important contradiction had occurred. And from then on, these mathematical explanations of his entirely pacified all the qualified representatives of contemporary civilization, so that now, with a quiet conscience, they build up all their wiseacrings about vibrations on the mathematical explanations of this obliging Hyderopoulo. These mathematical explanations were based on the following considerations. First, this obliging Hyderopoulo, in a certain way known only to himself, calculated the number of vibrations of each of the Chinese seven whole tones, and then explained that in the Chinese seven-toned octave, those whole tones called mi and si are not really whole tones at all, but only half tones, since the number of their vibrations is almost the same as the number of vibrations of those Greek half tones, which according to the division of the Greek octave are found precisely between the Chinese whole tones of mi and fa and si and do. Further, he put forward the hypothesis that it was probably convenient for the Chinese to have the restorials of the voice, or centers of gravity of the voice, on these half tones, and that for this reason they divided their octave not into five whole tones like the Greeks, but into seven, and so on, and so forth. After this explanation of Mr. Hyderopoulo, all the other contemporary scientists of new formation, having stuck a label also on this branch of their official science, were completely pacified. And now, this branch, called the theory of the law of vibrations, exists there, as our wise teacher Mullah Nasruddin would say, in clover. In this connection, I remember, and willy-nilly cannot help coming out with another wise saying of our always esteemed Mullah Nasruddin, which goes as follows. Ech, you Kufaristanian pantaloons, what difference does it make if you have a mule or a hare for your farm work? Don't they both have four legs? Of course, these contemporary favorites of yours do not know or even suspect that these two divisions of the octave into whole tones, which they call the Chinese and the Greek, resulted from two entirely different causes. The first, that is, the Chinese division, was, as I've said, the result of the thorough knowledge of the law of Heptaparaparshanok attained by the great twin brothers, unequaled before or since on Earth. And the second, that is the Greek division, was based solely on what are called the restorials of the voice, which were natural to the voices of the Greek beings at the period when this five-tone Greek octave was composed. Almost as many of these restorials of the voice, or as they are sometimes called, natural sounds of the voice, were and still are formed among your favorites, as there are independent groups into which they were and still continue to be divided. And this is so because these natural sounds of the voice are in general formed in beings from many outer and inner surrounding conditions, not depending upon them, for instance, geographical, hereditary, and religious conditions, and even the quality of nourishment and the quality of reciprocal influences, and so on and so forth. Your contemporary favorites, of course, cannot understand that however hard these ancient Greeks tried, or however conscientious their attitude was toward this matter, they could not, with all their wish, find in the division of the octave of sound into distinct tones either more or less than these five whole tones, since the totality of all the inner and outer conditions not depending on them gave them no other possibility during their chanting than to rely on their five restorials of the voice. Restorials, or center of gravity sounds in the voices of beings, are those tones which, during the production of different sounds by their corresponding organs, in accordance with properties fixed in them as a result of hereditary and of acquired faculties, and depending on the general functioning of their presence, the beings manifest freely, easily, and for a long time without evoking any tension whatever in their other separate functionings. In other words, restorials are obtained when the tempo of the result of this manifestation of theirs fully harmonizes with other functionings of their common presence, whose tempo is already fixed in them thanks to all the inner and outer conditions of their ordinary being existence. Owing to the various conditions of local character, and also to various hereditary qualities, different restorials, or center of gravity sounds of the voice, are formed in beings of almost every group or geographical region, and hence the division of the octave into whole tones among beings who breed on different parts of the surface of the planet is quite different. At the present time, there, groups exist among your favorites which have the capacity to produce the center of gravity sounds of an octave of sound not only in 5 or 7, but even in as many as 13 and 17 whole notes. To illustrate what I've just said, the beings of a small group dwelling on the continent of Asia will serve as a good example. I personally very much liked to listen to their singing, for among other physiological capacities, although they had the data for the manifestation of only 3 restorials, they were able in their song to produce up to 40 distinct sounds. Their chanting was magnificent, and at the same time, however exuberantly they might sing, the calm and sustained production of the vibrations of sound were obtained only on one or another of their 3 organic restorials. The physiological characteristics of the beings of this small group consisted in this, that no matter what number of definite sounds they produced in the whole octave of their voice, they constantly maintained the unchanging totality of vibrations obtained only on these three restorials inherent in them, and that during their entire manifestation, these restorials had the property of evoking in the whole presence of another being what is called a centralization or echo. I made all this very clear to myself when, having become interested in their singing, I began to investigate this characteristic, so rare among your contemporary favorites. With the aid of three special tuning forks I ordered and of several very sensitive vibrometers I already possessed, which had been invented for me personally by my essence friend, Gunahur Harhar. In the Chinese division of the octave into whole tones, this being property was not taken into account at all. This Chinese subdivision of the octave into seven whole tones, as well as the information making up the totality of the special branch of knowledge relating to the law of ninefoldness, were based on the results of the conscious labors and intentional suffering of the great twin brothers, for which their higher bodies were beatified and now dwell on that holy planet where we recently had the happiness to be. However that may be, my boy, I regret very much that it will be impossible for me, by means of this contemporary sound-producing instrument, the piano, which I brought back from the surface of your planet, to give you a full explanation of the law of vibrations from all sources, which actualize the common cosmic and semblusar. As could have been done so ideally on the remarkable Lav Merz Noch, created by the follower of the great twin brothers, that no less than great Chinese learned being, King Tu Tos. On that remarkable experimental apparatus, Lav Merz Noch, King Tu Tos arranged and tuned, according to the corresponding calculations made by the great brothers, exactly as many strings for engendering vibrations as there are consecutive sources in the universe, from any planet up to the protocosmos, in the presence of which the vibrations of cosmic substances, changing according to law during the trogo-auto-egocratic process, blend in the required manner for the actualization of everything further. Well, my boy, although the sound-producing instrument, the piano, which I brought from the surface of your planet, is only a typical invention of your contemporary favorites, yet, since the method of tuning the strings of its whole tones and half tones has not been changed, it is still possible, by maintaining the order of blending of the vibrations produced in a corresponding manner by its strings, to demonstrate experimentally the laws of vibration issuing from any one fundamental cosmic octave of substances, that is to say, issuing from any one of the seven fundamental totalities of sources. Thanks to this, it is possible to represent to oneself and to understand how all the vibrations issue from one another and act on one another, whatever their source, because, as I've already told you, all the cosmoses of various scales, as well as each of the seven independent parts of these cosmoses and each of their manifestations, are almost an exact image of the megalocosmos, and in each of them, the sevenfold sources of vibrations have the same reciprocal actions as proceed in the megalocosmos. And therefore, if you have understood the laws of vibration for any one center of gravity, it's possible for you to have an approximate understanding of these laws for all centers of gravity, if, of course, you take into account their difference of scale. I repeat, if the strings of this piano were tuned correctly, and the required vibrations are evoked in the corresponding strings, the resulting blending of vibrations coincides almost exactly, even mathematically, with the law-conformable totality of vibrations of the substances issuing from corresponding cosmic sources according to the sacred Heptaparaparshanach. On this piano, the vibrations of each whole tone and of each half tone of any octave pass from one to another strictly according to the laws of the sacred Heptaparaparshanach, and thus their vibrations, as occurs always and everywhere in the universe, mutually help one another to evolve or involve. Here, by the way, it is interesting to note that if the calculations and computations of these great terrestrial learned beings were almost exact, they owed it to the fact that the standard unit they happened to take for their calculations was the same that is taken everywhere in the megalocosmos, namely, the smallest particle of the most sacred substance, Theomert Melogos, that still contains all the power of vivifyingness proper to it. And I will explain to you now, as I promised, the Nirinusian world sound I mentioned. The Nirinusian sound. The Nirinusian world sound is just that sound whose vibrations your favorites have taken for their sound-producing instruments since ancient times, as a very limited number of them still do today, in this same China, of course, as the absolute vibration of the tone Do. Now, let me tell you how the existence of this sound came to be known on your planet. It was first discovered by that learned member of the Society of Akaldans, founded on the continent of Atlantis, who was a progenitor of those learned twin brothers, and who, as you remember, chanced to meet the first settlers of the country of Merolplasy, and was later chosen by them as their chief. At that time, this learned member of the Society of Akaldans, during his observations of different cosmic phenomena proceeding on and beyond their planet, noticed that in a certain part of this country, near the place where the city of Gob later arose, twice a year, after certain meteorological perturbations, the same definite sound was invariably heard and lasted for a fairly long time. He then built on this spot an elevation that he needed for the observation of heavenly bodies, as is said there, because he wished, during these observations, also to observe and investigate this cosmic result, which at first was entirely incomprehensible to him. Later, when the two great brothers, those future saints, began to investigate the sacred cosmic law of Heptaparaparshanach, since they already had knowledge of this cosmic result, they established themselves in the same place, and there they succeeded in elucidating the character and nature of this strange sound, which they made the unit of measurement of all their calculations in general. On this piano, vibrations of extraneous origin arrived from different shocks, noises, rustlings, and for the most part from what are called aerial momentum vibrations, which are generally formed in atmospheric space from the natural vibrations already present there. It is necessary here, in connection with the actualization of the fifth stopender of the sacred Heptaparaparshanach, to trace a parallel between two processes which externally have nothing in common with each other. just as the first being food cannot acquire its vivifying power until after its transformation into being pentocahere, so on this piano, the vibrations of a string do not acquire a corresponding vivifying power until they have been focused with the preceding vibrations, starting from the totality of the center of gravity vibrations of the tone sol. This last particularity of the sacred law of Heptaparaparshanakh can be demonstrated with absolute certainty by this means, that is to say, on the piano, because if the vibrations of the tones mi and si are produced in a hermetically sealed room, they either instantaneously cease or, thanks to the momentum obtained from the shock which engendered their arising, they undergo involution. In short, the tone mi returns to the tone do, and the tone si to the lower fa. In concluding the explanations I've given you relating to the division into seven tones of the octave of sound as it exists among your favorites, I must once again, alas, emphasize the fact that if any scraps of this knowledge have reached them, they have forgotten everything that was essential, and always for the same reason, the disappearance from their presence of the practice of fulfilling being Bhaktog duty, a disappearance that is the very cause of the gradual deterioration in them of the mentation proper to three-brain beings. At this place in his tales, Beelzebub became absorbed once again in his own thoughts, and his gaze was fixed on the root of his grandson's nose. There was rather a long silence, after which he continued, "Ech, my dear child, I must now, willy-nilly, tell you about some experiments relating to the laws of vibrations which I witnessed on that same planet Earth. And I shall tell you about them in as much detail as possible for the two following reasons. The first is because I have already said a great deal about this first fundamental sacred law of Heptaparaparshanakh, and I should therefore be very distressed if for some reason or other you would not succeed in grasping all its particularities. And I am sure that my account of these experiments will enable you to form for yourself a thorough representation of this law. And the second reason is because the terrestrial being who made these experiments, thanks to the knowledge of cosmic vibrations he had acquired, was the sole and unique being who, during the many centuries that I existed upon the earth, recognized my true nature.